It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have prominent insiders telling us that it's only a matter of time here for Russell Wilson, almost no matter what. Almost no matter what. Jerry Dulac has said it. We have Cabali saying it now. And maybe it should be obvious to everybody, I don't know, that Russell Wilson is going to play at some point, if not this week. Likely, I would say, as early as next week, because this, I get it, I guess, if this is the week where he actually tests it in practice full bore, and you want to see how he reacts to that, and if it goes really well, all right, let Justin play one more game, and then it's your job. And part of me is very curious to see Russell Wilson, don't get me wrong. But for those of you who want them to stay with Fields at any cost, it sounds like you're going to be disappointed. It sounds like a change here is imminent, almost no matter what Fields does. That's what Cabali said. I mean, and I'll grant him this. I was giving an extreme example of, you know, if they light it up and he's great. But man, he was that in the second half at Indy. Like, I think Justin Fields is capable of a great game. He had some in Chicago. Maybe we're back to the boom or bust thing that we all thought he was going to be in the first place. I mean, in that game at Indy, he was pretty spectacular. 370 total yards or thereabouts with three touchdowns. What was it, two running and one passing and the other way around? I mean, that's good stuff, and they should have won the game. And I realize he had some catastrophic mistakes in that game, too. I do. But it sounds like it's going to be Russell Wilson. How does that grab you? 412-928-9370. We're likely to see Russell Wilson. And the question would be, does that mean that the offense is going to change? Or if it remains largely the same, can Russell Wilson execute it in a way that Justin Fields can't? In what way will Russell Wilson improve the offense? What can he do that Fields couldn't? And I would suggest, for starters, he could be more accurate intermediate and long ball. I think he could be more accurate, although Ben did mention, and it seemed true, that was a pretty good pass to Connor Hayward down the left sideline the other night, right? At least one of them?
Well, both of them, I think, were right there. The first one could have been another 6 inches.
I mean, the other
inches.
One was an 8-yard pass across the middle that Hayward caught, and then it got knocked out of his hand.
The first one, though, I mean, I watched the replay last night. The ball was literally in his hands for 75% of that dive, and it came out when he hit the ground.
Well, let's hear again the first quote you played today from Ben about what he thinks of this offense and how he thinks it could improve.
I understand that you want to be a team that runs the ball and is physical, but when it's not working, stop running your head into the wall. Naj is not getting it done right now. And I'm not saying it's Naj's fault. Naj runs hard. He is doing everything that he can. But the run game is more than just the runner. Yeah. It's the line. It's the tight ends. It's the receivers. It's everybody's involved. And Naj is working really hard, but it's just not there right now. Find other ways to get the ball down the field. And that's what they did on that drive right after coming out of the blue tent, too, which is even more surprising. It's like, yes, this is what you want to see. You want to see these shots. I mean, I'll go back earlier in the game. Like, I loved what they did early in the game with Justin. I thought the shot he took to Connor Hayward was a perfect pass.
Yes.
Connor dove for it. we always tell receivers, don't dive. It's hard to tell guys because you're actually faster when you run through a ball instead of dive. People think you need to dive for it. Same reason you don't slide into first base, right? You run through it.
My question would be, even though Fields had a good pass to Hayward down that left sideline, they did take more shots the other day, and his efficiency went down. Would Russell Wilson, would his presence lend itself to more efficiency down the field? Is he a better intermediate and deep thrower, and would that create a better offense? Whatever you give up in Fields' mobility, and it's not like Russell can't move anymore, but he's not Justin Fields in that respect. Would that make up for it? What's it going to be like with Russell Wilson? How long will it take him to get sharp? This is the story this week, along with George Pickens. I mentioned some of the local media takes. How about a couple national takes on Fields versus Wilson? Let's hear from Adam Schefter on this issue, if you would, Limits.
Russell has been getting healthier and healthier, and I think he's now at the point where he is healthy enough to play. So that's going to be a Mike Tomlin decision. I think at some point in time here, it's not going to surprise me if they turn to Russell Wilson. I don't know whether that's next week or the week after. But Justin Fields, like, they've lost two straight games now, the Steelers have, and that's not all on Justin Fields at all.
No.
But they've lost two. When you're winning every week, as they were the first few weeks of the season, you're not making a quarterback change. When you're losing, that opens the door to discussion and conversation about, is it worth it to go to a guy like Russell Wilson? And I just think that that's a conversation they're going to have. I don't know ultimately what they're going to do, but Russell's at the point now where he was considered the guy when they first traded him. Mike Tomlin anointed him as the starter. He hurt his calf. Justin took over and played well. They won. Now they've lost two in a row. Now Russell's healthier. So there are some elements at play here that I think lead to a discussion that I don't know ultimately what they'll decide to do, but I do think at some point in time, Russell's going to get a chance.
Yeah, and he's still, I think this is instructive, he's still listed first on the depth chart. I don't agree with Schefter that these last games aren't on Justin Fields at all, like he said. And I don't think he was all that good the other night. Wasn't horrible. I just don't think he was really good. So there's one insider nationally who thinks, it pretty much sounds like he thinks it's a matter of time too. But there's certainly one gigantic Justin Fields fan out there who doesn't want to see this change, and that is Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. Let's hear from him.
There is a real chance that we see Russell Wilson coming back next week.
I would say that's the wrong decision. I would say that Pittsburgh has a offensive problem, and it's not the quarterback. The offensive line's not very good. They're not running the football nearly as well as I thought they would. The two things that are hurting in their pass game, there's two or three clips where you want to see Justin's eyes in a little bit more of a better or more consistent place. There's no one getting open that much for this offense. Mm. George Pickens is unbelievably talented, but he's not winning that much, and they're certainly not getting them the football enough early on in the football games. This is a football team offensively that their number one issue is when they get into those obvious passing situations, third and six, third and seven, they cannot beat man coverage. So if you have to ask me really what's the fix for Pittsburgh's offense, it is not the quarterback. It is they need a pass catcher opposite George Pickens to become a viable threat.
Very good points there. Is Russell going to fare any better if nobody's open? He might fare worse if he can't move around enough. That's a very salient point. And I do love that word, Limits.
Salient.
Nobody's getting open. Come on, Omar Khan. Omar's pretty much butchered this receiver situation, has he not?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're expecting Van Jefferson to be a number two wide receiver and depend on Scotty Miller, who's nothing more than a four or a five. You're not playing your third round draft pick.
I'd rather have Dennis Miller out there trying to get open. I mean, this is what happened to him. Scotty Miller made a couple nice plays against the Chargers.
The Roman Wilson thing. Something's wrong there.
What is going on?
And the funny thing is, did you watch that Connor Stallions documentary that Netflix did on Stallions?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
The point that I'm getting at is, When I watched it a couple weeks ago and they were showing all the plays of Michigan scoring touchdowns, Michigan passing touchdown, J.J. McCarthy 2, J.J. McCarthy 2, everyone was Roman Wilson in the end zone catching touchdowns on the national champions. Why can he not get on the field? And don't give me this, oh, well, Tomlin, they want to get, he didn't have much camp, so they want to not throw him into the fire.
The only thing I can think of is if his injury doesn't have him in a place where he can stop and start like he wants. Especially playing the slot, if that's what he was going to play or what he will play. And as I mentioned, limits, if I'm Roman Wilson and I am healthy and I'm watching these games, I'm probably in a shame spiral right now, thinking to myself, oh my God, I can't get on the field for this team?
Well, let's say that is the case, and the injury might still be a little bit of a
concern.
I might
have to retire before I ever play a game.
He's still a full participant in practice. Scotty Miller's only playing, what, like 6-7 snaps on offense? Why not give those snaps to Roman Wilson and ease him in?
Forget about that. Who's the dude who played the other day?
Johnson.
Boston.
Yeah, something like that.
Johnson, Boston?
No.
Edu Araki?
No, not Ebu and whoever they are. No, I mean, like, come on.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
It won't be Ade and Eko. They just got here, but Roman Wilson's been here, and he can't see the field. And they draft wide receivers
Forget about all that.
Can't play.
Forget about all that. The biggest problem is leadership. Somebody's got to get to Pickens, and I think Todd in Pittsburgh has the answer quite clearly.
Todd.
Is anybody anymore in a locker room? Like, you know, TJ or Cam come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
He definitely has that machismo.
I think if TJ or Cam went up to Pickens and said, hey, what are you doing? I think that would really change things. Do you? I mean, I think
that
guy,
verbiage would change everything.
I think he would come out with a completely new attitude and never pout again and run on every pass route. If you simply said, hey, what are you doing?
I think you have to approach it depending on what the player's like and the personality. Because if Cam Hayward
I'm kidding. It's not even a topic.
Well,
I don't care what they're doing.
If Cam Hayward could just go and scream at George Pickens, do you think that would do anything compared to the coach?
I'll tell you this much. George Pickens wouldn't think about doing what he's doing with the early 2000 Steelers. You think that dude would walk into a room with Hines Ward? When he put that on tape the other night?
Not a chance. With Kiesel?
He'd be driving home that day because guys would be picking him up and throwing him out of the room. Leave. Come back when you want to play football.
James Harrison, Lamar Woodley would teach him a lesson.
He would be ashamed to walk into a locker room with Hines Ward, with Alan Faneca, with Ben, with James Ferrier, with Joey Porter, with Troy Polamalu, with Aaron Smith. It wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. Not for long.
No.
Because he'd be gone. And slowly but surely, and I'm not even sure it's the coach, slowly but surely, the leadership, the environment in that locker room has changed. It's not like it used to be. And maybe that's true everywhere. Maybe it is. But simply the idea of walking in and sitting next to Hines, he would melt in shame if that was on tape.
Well, think about
if that was on tape for all those guys to see, I can't even imagine what would have happened to this guy if he tried to walk into the room the Tuesday or whenever they first get together, or go over it on Monday, I don't know. The first day he would walk into a room with Ferrier, Hines, I didn't even mention Jerome, all those guys, what would happen to this dude?
Marquise Pouncey.
Yes.
Some of the other guys on offense.
And no, Pouncey was a little later, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the main offensive leaders that have been seen in the last 10 to 15
years.
Well,
unfortunately, it started to decline then. I'm not saying Pouncey was a bad leader. He was a pretty good leader. But the drama increased tenfold as, you know, 2009, 10, 11 turned into the teens, and it's only gotten worse.
Yeah, 05, 08, those teams especially would not have put up with anything like this. And those offensive teams had a lot of leaders. Like Antoine Randall would have probably said a thing or two to Pickens about this entire thing. Especially Hines Ward.
Couldn't have walked in there. It's very simple. And the fact that this coach, The fact that this coach gets in front of fans, again, it's not media that Mike Tomlin's talking to on Tuesdays. He's talking to you. That's the one time, the one vehicle by which Tomlin talks to you every week. There's one time, and that's it. And he's out there running cover for this guy who's half-assing it, and everybody knows it, and the coach won't admit it. Unbelievable. But former players see it and say it on the Steeler radio network, like Max Starks. This is a me guy, not a we guy, but the head coach won't say it. Unbelievably annoying. All right. Where am I here? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm going to ask Hokey that question because he was in those rooms too, along with Big Snack. Would you like to half-ass it on film and then go into a room where Big Snack is waiting for you? I'm going to ask Hokey if they ever had a guy who had multiple occurrences of giving less than his best effort, and if so, what happened to him, and what if somebody like that were in their locker room, a guy like Pickens, on a regular basis? What would the here's the best way to phrase it. What would the Monday have been like for Pickens, or the first time he saw his teammates from 2006 after something like after putting that on tape? What would his reception have been like? That's what I want to know.
A locker room intervention, maybe?
Yeah, and maybe not a gentle one. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, and Pet Fest. I'm bringing Bailey. You bringing Muffin?
You know, Muffin's not the biggest fan of other dogs, but we'll have to see if it's a different story that day.
Muffin doesn't like parties.
She likes parties. She just likes people.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fifty-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
All right, Limits, we got to do some Penguin predictions. We got a ball game. We got a puck game tonight. When we let off all those hours ago, we were talking about Sully, we were talking about how Kyle Dubas was sort of like yesterday, it's okay if we make the playoffs and okay if we don't. It's all good. No matter how it turns out, it's all fine. I ain't buying it. But I am ready to lay down some predictions. When I say I'm not buying it, I'm saying it's a highly pedigreed, highly talented, I think, and highly paid roster. How about we didn't make the playoffs the last 2 years? We better damn well this year. That's why I'm paying all these guys all this money. That's why we have the Norris Trophy winner from 2 years ago and a two-time All-Star in goal who's not 30 yet and who's making $28 million. That's why we have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang and Brian Rust. We think Drew O'Connor's going to be a really good player. That's why I brought in a bunch of older guys to man the third and fourth lines, guys with some pedigree. I think our third and fourth line is going to be better than it has. I think our goaltending is going to be way better. I think Erik Karlsson's going to be a star like he's supposed to be. And we better make the playoffs. Are you kidding me? That's not at all what I heard from Dubas yesterday. But anyway, I guess I'll hold them to higher expectations than their GM will. And we'll do some predictions. We'll do a little time capsule here. Won't we, limits? And I would say they have to get off to a much better start. Got to. Last year, I think they started 3-6, and opening night against Chicago was a foreshadowing of all the horrible things to come, including the power play, which better get fixed. Where will the Penguins finish in their division? Did you open the time capsule?
It is officially open.
Where will they finish in the Metro? The Devils are already 2-0, for God's sakes, and the Sabres are already 0-2.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that franchise.
I'm
going to say second. Penguins finish second and make the playoffs.
I'll say, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'll say fourth.
Fourth and don't make the playoffs.
Fourth, and at this point, I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs, is my gut feeling.
Well, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think they're going to have a better year than expected and finish second in their division. All right, let's go to some individuals. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Who's going to be the breakout player for the Penguins this season? I say Drew O'Connor. He sort of broke out last year. I think he's going to be a 20 to 25 goal man and maybe a 50-point man.
I like that pick, but I'll be different, and I'll say Rutger McGroarty is the breakout pick.
Like,
welcome,
that.
Rutger.
I like that a lot, Rutger McGroarty. I'm not exactly sure how we should say his last name. This could be a Connor Sherry, Sherry, Sherry situation. I don't know yet. All right. Who's going to be the Penguins' biggest disappointment? Not an easy one, is it?
No.
Limitless
wonder.
There are
a lot of options. Ryan Graves is one that stands out, but I'm going to say Tristan Jarry again.
Wow.
Tristan Jarry again. I don't believe in him. I never have.
Wow. Tristan Jarry. All right. You know what? I'm going to say disappointment. That's a tough one. I might say Nedeljkovic only because I think a lot of people think he's going to be a starter, and plus he's already battling injuries. So for signing and bringing him back and signing him, I'm going to say him. Maybe through not much fault of his own, by the way. All right. Let's go with some over-unders for the Penguins. Sidney Crosby, over under 85.5 points. He had 94 last year. I'll say 89.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. Evgeny Malkin, over under 75.5 points.
I'm going to say just slightly under.
Do the Penguins win a play? I'm going to say for Malkin, he only had 67 last year. You know what? I'm going to give him a little bit of a renaissance season here. I'm going to say over 75.5 points. Penguins power play, which finished a disgraceful 31st in the league last year. Top 10 or not top 10?
I'm going to say not top 10.
I'm going to say top 10. I think old Quinny gets it figured out. Tristan Jarry, over under 915 save percentage this year.
Oh, that's a pretty low number. I'm going to say just under 910.
That's a big number. I'm going to say slightly under for him. Do the Penguins, you say they don't make the playoffs.
Correct.
So you obviously answer no here. Do they win a playoff round? Believe it or not, I'm going to say yes, Limitless Wonder. Yes, I am.
I'm glad you have optimism when I don't.
Penguins going to be better or worse in overtime than they were last season?
They'll be better. They can't be worse.
Excellent answer. And thus closes our time vault.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.